Good evening. Today is the 40th anniversary of the accident and meltdown at the Three Mile Island nuclear plant. We talk exclusively with an engineer who worked on the plant. With this and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the WBAI Evening News for March 28th, 2019.
On Thursday, New York State Attorney General Tish James announced that New York is expanding its lawsuit against opioid pill maker Purdue Pharma to add members of the billionaire family behind the company, the Sackler family, to its lawsuit. New York State also added five other companies that produce opioid painkillers and four drug distributors to the lawsuit. The New York State Attorney General says New York State averages 9 opioid-related deaths per day. The lawsuit comes out of a multi-year investigation with 4 sets of allegations.
First, this lawsuit alleges that through years of false and deceptive marketing, the following manufacturers of opioids, Purdue, Janssen, Mallinckrodt, Endo, Deva, and Allergan, have grossly misled the public about the true risks and dangers associated with opioids. Second, what is more groundbreaking about this lawsuit are the allegations against the distributors of opioid drugs, McKesson, Cardinal, AmerisourceBergen, and Rochester, some of the biggest distributors of opioids in New York and in the nation. They failed to exercise their most basic duty to detect and report the diversion of opioids because of poorly designed, poorly resourced, and poorly executed monitoring programs. Third, this lawsuit contains detailed allegations about the Sackler family and their attempts to hide the vast fortunes they collected at the expense of actual lives. In an attempt to shield these fortunes from families whose loved ones have been killed by their products, we allege that the family has illicitly transferred funds from Purdue to personal trust, so that they are potentially outside of the reach of law enforcement and our efforts to seek restitution or penalties. Fourth and lastly, the lawsuit sets forth detailed False Claims Act allegations against all of the defendants based on opioid prescriptions that were paid under state health programs because of the defendant's misconduct. The gross misconduct exhibited by these defendants enabled countless New Yorkers to obtain prescriptions that were not medically necessary, prescriptions that New York State taxpayers footed the bill for because they were paid under state health programs, including but not limited to Medicaid.
In New York, all distributors are subject to the New York Controlled Substance Act. It requires that they implement measures to detect suspicious activity and report them. But the suit alleges distributors did not have robust compliance systems in place.
And in the cases when a suspicious opioid order was flagged and investigations were not conducted, the orders were not blocked and they were not reported to the state. Simply put, they put profit over patients.
Attorney General James says the lawsuit breaks new ground in alleging willful misconduct, fraud, and negligence by distributors who purchase opioids in bulk from manufacturers, sell to individual pharmacies and other licensed dispensers, ignoring red flags. She says without compliance, manufacturers will not be able to do business in New York. New York's announcement comes 2 days after Purdue and the Sacklers agreed to pay $270 million to Oklahoma, the first settlement stemming from a wave of nearly 2,000 lawsuits that the company says could push it into bankruptcy. New York seeks penalties and damages that could total tens of millions of dollars. It wants the defendants to endow a fund to curb the epidemic. Representatives for Purdue Pharma and the Sackler family behind the creation of OxyContin says New York State's lawsuit against them baselessly blames them for fueling the opioid crisis. They spoke out Thursday after Attorney General Tish James announced the expansion of the existing case. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.
And Indian Point's two nuclear reactors remain without power while workers try to fix a stubborn malfunction in an electric generator on the non-nuclear side of the Buchanan power plant. It's unclear when the plant's Unit 2 reactor will resume generating power for electric users in Westchester County and New York City, said Jerry Nappi, a spokesman for Entergy, Indian Point's owner. The 45-year-old reactor automatically shut down around 3 p.m. on March 15th when a problem was detected in an exciter, which provides the electrical current that produces the magnetic field necessary to create electricity. The reactor resumed generating power around 2 a.m. on March 24th, but shut down again some 13 hours later when a similar malfunction arose. The four shutdowns, or scrams, took place while the plant's other reactor, Unit 3, is down for its biennial maintenance and refueling. It was the first time the two reactors had been down at the same time since the spring of 2009, when Unit 2 had an unplanned shutdown while Unit 3 was being refueled. Riverkeeper joined the state of New York and Entergy in the landmark 2017 agreement to shut down Indian Point. Unit 3 is scheduled to close next year and Unit 2 in 2021. Today is the 40th anniversary of the meltdown of the Three Mile Island Unit 2 reactor near the Pennsylvania capital of Harrisburg, about 160 miles from New York City.
To sum it up in a word, it is still confusing from Harrisburg. To bring you up to the minute, an unexpected release of more radiation today from the Three Mile Island nuclear power plant has led to a series of consequences.
This is the news station, WNEP 16.
Workers were transferring radioactive cooling water from one holding tank to another when a valve opened, releasing radioactive steam. Throughout the day, chaos and confusion reigned as monitors tried to determine exactly how much radiation was released. But at a news conference early this afternoon, Governor Thornburg suggested pregnant women and preschool children within a five-mile radius of Three Mile Island leave the area. And residents within a 10-mile radius have been urged to stay indoors indefinitely.
Remain indoors. Close all windows and doors.
Thornburg emphasized more than once he nor anyone else has not yet ordered an evacuation. But he did admit there's always that possibility. The situation here has become more and more confusing each day since the initial release on Wednesday morning, as several state and federal agencies try to react to the crisis.
Mike Stevens is standing by with this live report. Mike?
Gary, all through this day, there has been a great deal of concern about the situation at Three Mile Island.
We will keep in constant touch with Mr. Denton and his associates. They will bring to us whatever information they feel is relevant to dealing with our concern, which is the safety of the people of this Commonwealth.
Many of the governor's recommendations and decisions are being made on the advice of Dr. Harold Denton of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, whom President Carter has personally dispatched. Dr. Denton says that the possibilities of a complete meltdown at this point are very, very remote. However, Dr. Denton does call this the most serious nuclear accident in the nuclear industry history.
On Wednesday, March 28, 1979, about 4 o'clock in the morning, a valve malfunctioned at the nuclear power plant, which had begun operating only 3 months earlier. The reactor was forced to scram, a term coined in the earliest days of the nuclear enterprise, meaning it shut down. A misreading in the control room caused 250,000 gallons of radioactive water to spill out on the floor of the reactor's containment building. That's the huge dome-shaped concrete structures that are iconic at most nuclear power plants. The plant's emergency core cooling system kicked on and a drastic attempt began to prevent the reactor from melting down from its own immense heat. The disaster generated a panic among technicians and government officials that led to an evacuation order for three surrounding counties at 7 in the morning. That was canceled an hour later, but a few hours later after that, the National Guard was preparing for mass evacuations. By noon, Pennsylvania Governor Dick Thornburg issued an advisory for pregnant women and children to evacuate a five-mile radius around the plant. He then closed 23 schools. Reports started coming out of the plant that a hydrogen bubble was forming and could cause an explosion and catastrophic failure. By 2 the next morning, President Jimmy Carter, a nuclear engineer and Navy submarine commander, arrived and toured the site with his wife Rosalind wearing yellow plastic booties. By the next day, the worst fears of an explosion had subsided, but the U.S. nuclear industry would never fully recover. In 1979, there were about 70 nuclear plants in the country. Today, 98 are operating. Two are under construction, and 34 have been closed down. The anti-nuclear movement grew from a handful to a massive populist upsurge in every part of the country. Joining us on the line is Paul Gallet of Riverkeeper. Welcome, Paul Tegelet to WBAI.
Good to be with you.
Great to have you. And it's interesting that today we're talking and we're hearing about this scram that occurred at Indian Point, and it marks the 40th anniversary of Three Mile Island. As a person who's followed what's been happening at Indian Point, what do you see any connection?
Indian Point has two reactors. One's down for refueling, and the other went down because they couldn't keep the power on in the non-nuclear side of the facility. And they brought it back online about a week later, and then 12 hours after that, it went off again. These are signs of an aging plant. And while these particular issues are on the non-nuclear side, about 2 years ago, we learned that Indian Point had more failures of the bolts holding the inner walls of the two reactor cores together than any other reactor ever observed. So the risk is real. The closure agreement is essential. It's on track to close the first reactor, Reactor 2, in April of 2020, and the second reactor, Reactor 3, in April of 2021. And Indian Point's time is just coming and soon going to be gone.
Tell us about the closing agreement. How did that occur, and when is it going to happen? What's the timeline on that? Why are we closing these plants, and why did it take so long?
The agreement to close Indian Point was struck in January of 2017, giving the plant 4 years to operate the Reactor 3 and 3 years to operate Reactor 2. And in those 3 to 4 years, there's been a tremendous uptick in renewable energy and energy efficiency. Just in 2017 alone, there was an increase of over 1,000 megawatts of power in renewable energy in New York, which is half of Indian Point. And just in 2018 alone, there was an increase in energy efficiency of nearly 400 megawatts. So if you just take those two data points, that's 1,400 megawatts out of the 2,000 that Indian Point generates. And by the time Indian Point closes for good in 2021, we'll have the rest of that power lined up in non-fossil fuel-based sources. Then we'll continue to ramp up on wind energy, on energy efficiency, which the State of New York Public Service Commission has ordered up to 3% a year, which is fantastic. And we're going to go so far beyond closing Indian Point in terms of replacing fossil-based fuel. And at some point in the future, those other reactors upstate are going to close as well. Right now, the state is taking a very different attitude towards them.
Where were you? Do you remember where you were 40 years ago today? Were you born?
I was in college. I was watching nervously like everybody else, the same way that I was watching in horror when Fukushima had its meltdowns. These issues remind us that you might want to, you know, keep an antique car on the road, you know, keep in good shape, keep the shocks strong and keep the tires clean, and you might be okay. But a 40-plus-year-old nuke plant, I'm not so sure that that's worth the risk at this point.
Now, there's three plants in New York State that are owned by the same company as owns TMI, that's Exelon. What's happening with Fitzpatrick, Janay, and Nine Mile Point?
Well, you got to understand that I'm a downstate guy. I'm focused on Indian Point. We're not a nuclear or a non-nuclear group. We're just focused on the fact that Indian Point is too dangerous, too old, kills too many fish and other riverine creatures to operate. And we're focusing on Indian Point. So I hate to say it, but you're going to have to get somebody else to speak with you about that statement.
All right. And so thank you very much, Paul Tegelet, for joining us and updating us on this. What's the timeline as far as closing down Indian Point?
We're a year away from the first reactor closing and 2 years away from the second and one remaining reactor closing.
Very good. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Have a good one.
Great. We spoke earlier today with Paul Gunter of the watchdog Beyond Nuclear, who says when it comes to Three Mile Island, the government has really covered up the extent of damage caused by the event.
When Three Mile Island happened, a nuclear accident was considered incredible, that it was next to impossible. So everybody was surprised when that accident occurred. And in fact, there was no emergency preparedness around the reactor there at Three Mile Island. So there were wide windows that were left open where radiation could have gone undetected by any kind of monitoring. But in that time, people became the dissimetry. We have a number of anecdotal findings where people experienced erythemia, which is typically a cancer treatment. You will get a redness in the, on the area being treated by radiation. People all around Three Mile Island experienced this sunburn-like effect, which was attributed to radiation. But again, the monitors that were in place pegged way off scale. So there was no way of reading what happened, but people were experiencing symptoms of radiation poisoning, nausea, hair loss, this redness of the skin. And there was a lot of other anecdotal experiences, such as pet death. There were experiences that continue today of mutations of plant life, a rose growing out of another rose, double-headed flowers. These were, as a matter of fact, the Smithsonian Institute has recently accepted the botanical collection that Mary Stamos, a Harrisburg resident, has been collecting since that accident. And that's now at the Smithsonian Institute to show that there were genetic impacts on plant life. Those same kinds of concerns are now being confirmed by Penn State Medical Center, where they've now identified thyroid cancer that is connected directly to radiogenic exposures. Though it's a small sample set that they've confirmed this radiation-connected thyroid cancer, what they're saying is bigger studies need to be conducted to show that what the real impacts have been and what they could continue to be as radiation exposure can pass from generation to generation to generation, particularly through genetics, which even the basic clinical evidence shows that the exposure to radiation at any level increases your chances of cancer, birth defects, and genetic mutations.
And that was Paul Gunter of the Watchdog Beyond Nuclear. One of the fears, little understood at the time, but now part of folklore, is the China syndrome, a colloquial term for the nuclear fuel in a reactor theoretically melting its way through the center of the Earth to the other side of the planet. Just 2 weeks before the accident at Three Mile Island, the film The China Syndrome premiered, starring Jane Fonda, Michael Douglas, and Jack Lemmon, about a fictional nuclear plant accident.
The China Syndrome. It's about people. People who lie. And people faced with the agony of telling the truth.
Right.
People like Kimberly Wells, a television reporter paid to smile, not to think.
A few words about a veterinarian who makes house calls on sick fish. Or is it aquarium calls?
Richard Adams, a cameraman who never learned how to play by the rules.
Wait till you get that other room, get that radiation all over that cute little body.
Jack Goodell, an engineer who knows too much to tell the truth.
In anything that man ever does, there's some element of risk, right? Well, that's why we have what we call defense in depth.
And cares too much to lie.
No accident.
It will start with a tremor in a nuclear power plant. Where it will end will depend on three people.
I would say you're probably lucky to be alive. Same for the rest of Southern California.
Jane Fonda.
Let's face it, you didn't get this job because of your investigative abilities.
Kimberly, don't fight it.
Jack Lemmon.
There was a vibration!
Michael Douglas.
I don't know that accident is the right word.
Accident is the right word!
The China Syndrome. The harder they try, the more resistance they meet.
They've got their own security man. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you want to make it any clearer?
The closer they get, the more threatening it becomes. The China Syndrome. Today, only a handful of people know what it really means. And they're scared.
Everybody keep your station! Everybody keep your station!
Soon.
The film was a smash hit that was nominated for and won many awards. My dad, Paul DiRienzo Sr., was a chief engineer on a nuclear plant called Oyster Creek 2 in Lacey Township, New Jersey, in the 1960s. He was working on plant number 2 when he got a call from an executive with the president of one of the companies that owned the plant, demanding it be moved to Pennsylvania to cut spiraling costs. He described what happened on a TV appearance.
What happened was that the people at Oyster Creek in New Jersey, they were coming to grips with commissioning unit number 1, the Oyster Creek number 1, and the unions were giving them a hard time. So they, in one fell swoop, they said, we'll relocate this unit next to our identical unit in Three Mile Island. And that's why you have Three Mile Island number 1 and Three Mile Island number 2. But they're not absolutely identical, simply because they were designed by two different engineering firms. The fact of the matter is, even though they were both identical reactors, the way they were designed, by definition, had to be different because each engineer has his own approach. And the one engineer had started 6 months before we started ours, and we tried to utilize his. We had been working 3 years on the design of the one at Oyster Creek, and now they wanted to keep as much of that design without redoing. That's a difficult challenge than to marry two identical reactors with different. It got done. It got done, but it might have been a factor.
He says the unwise plan by General Public Utilities to move Oyster Creek 2 from its beachside site to a mountain in Pennsylvania may have contributed to the accident. My father quit his job after refusing the direct order to move the plant and never engineered another nuclear reactor. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Thursday, March 28th, 2019. The news was produced with Linda Perry. Our engineer is James Ursay. For the WBAI Evening News, I'm Paul DiRienzo. Thanks for joining us.